Welcome to the Deep Dive, the place where we cut through the noise and get straight to the essential knowledge.
Lay there.
Today, we are doing a deep exploration into the creative and career journey of someone really unique in animation, an American animator, writer, producer, composer.
We're talking Lauren Hill Bouchard.
Yeah.
You probably know his work. If you follow modern adult animation at all, I mean, he's the force behind stuff like Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist.
Right, that foundational improv humor.
And then home movies. Total cult classic.
Definitely.
And of course, the massive one, Bob's Burgers. Multi-Emmy winning, just a cultural touchstone now.
Absolutely. So our mission today is pretty specific. We want to trace the full path of his career, which you'll see is often really unexpected.
Yeah.
We need to unpack who influenced him, understand how a particular technical style really defined his early approach.
That's key.
And look at how his very distinct character-driven comedy evolved, especially leading up to something as huge as Bob's Burgers.
And we have to start with what might be the most surprising thing for you listening. Unlike a lot of animation giants, you know, who go the film school route, Bouchard, high school dropout.
It's incredible, right?
Yeah.
His path wasn't about academic credentials at all.
Not in the slightest. It was more about serendipity and finding the right collaborators at just the right moment.
That really frames this whole story differently, doesn't it? It's such a non-traditional success narrative.
Totally.
Just for context, Bouchard was born around 1969, maybe 1970, in New York City. Grew up mostly in Medford, Massachusetts.
So he's about 54, 55 now?
Yeah. And an interesting little background detail, born to a Jewish mother and a Catholic father. You wonder if that mix maybe subtly influenced his interest later in these diverse kind of struggling family?
Could be, yeah. Interesting mix.
Okay, so the fact he dropped out makes that big turning point in 1993 feel almost like something out of a movie.
It really does. Mm-hmm. Because this wasn't some calculated career move. It was pure chance. He was literally working behind a bar.
That's right, just bartending. Imagine pouring drinks and in walks his old grade school teacher, Tom Snyder.
Yep, Tom Snyder. And that one single conversation just changed the whole trajectory.
Wow.
Snyder was setting up his animation company at the time, Soup Two Nuts. You might remember them.
Oh, yeah.
And he just asked Bouchard basically, hey, are you still drawing?
Just like that, an offhand question.
Pretty much. And when Bouchard said yeah, Snyder offered him work on some animated shorts they were doing. That connection, it's the whole foundation.
Without that moment,
nothing else happens. It really shows how important those mentor figures can be, especially trying to break into creative fields.
Yeah.
It's not always about the resume.
And those initial shorts, they didn't stay shorts for long, did they?
No, they evolved pretty quickly into Bouchard's first actual series, Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist.
Which became a Comedy Central staple, ran for 6 seasons.
Yeah, 1995 to 2000. A good long run.
Now, this is where we need to talk about that technical style you mentioned. The look of that show was unique.
Ah, squiggle vision. Yes.
Yeah.
That was the Soup Two Nuts signature. For anyone listening who doesn't know, it's this proprietary limited animation style where the lines of the characters are constantly sort of shimmering, wiggling.
Right. It looks almost unstable. Why that specific kind of low budget look? Was there a creative reason?
Honestly, it was mostly financial. Cable animation in the 90s didn't have huge budgets.
All
traditional
right.
Animation, fluid stuff is super expensive, takes forever. Squigglevision let them cut corners on the visual.
And focus somewhere else.
Exactly, on the sound, the dialogue. Because the animation was so basic, they could record the voice actors first, often doing semi-improvised sessions, and then animate the visuals around that dialogue track relatively quickly.
Ah, okay, that makes total sense. So it was a workaround that actually shaped his whole approach.
Absolutely. Yeah. That became his training ground. His early experience on Dr. Katz, producer, writer, editor for, what, 47 episodes? It wasn't just about writing jokes. It was about learning how to build a show around brilliant, spontaneous voice actors.
Like H. John Benjamin, Jonathan Katz.
Right. Managing them in that improv environment. He always credits Katz, Benjamin, and Snyder as huge influences. And the key takeaway is they influenced his method. Prioritize the authentic performance, the voice, over slick animation.
And that thread runs straight through to Bob's Burgers, obviously.
Correctly.
Yeah.
And the industry noticed pretty quick.
The recognition came fast.
Yeah, he got his first major award almost immediately, a Cable Ace Award in 1995 for Dr. Katz.
Wow.
Think about that. He goes from bartending to winning an industry award in less than 2 years. It proved that formula, the squiggle vision aesthetic plus top-tier improv comedy, worked.
And while Dr. Katz was taking off, he was also involved in another Soup to Nuts project around that time, something different.
Yeah, in 97, they did Science Court, showed the range of what Soup to Nuts was doing.
Science Court, I vaguely remember that. Educational.
Exactly, an animated educational series, but still using that squiggle vision style. Bouchard was producer and director for 12 episodes.
And did that get any attention?
It did, actually. Got a TCA Award nomination in 98. Outstanding achievement in children's programming.
Interesting. So even early on, he wasn't just the adult comedy guy.
Right. He was proving he could handle different formats, different audiences, even under those technical constraints of limited animation. He was a capable producer and director, period.
Okay, so as Dr. Katz was winding down, Bouchard didn't really miss a beat. He transitioned straight into his next big thing, the one that really cemented that early cult following, Home Movies.
Ah, Home Movies, yes. And crucially, co-created with Brendan Small.
That partnership seems really important.
It was critical. Brendan Small, who also voiced the main character, Brendan, he helped lock in that uniquely awkward, sort of mumbled, character-driven rhythm Bouchard was developing.
And Bouchard's involvement was total, right?
Oh, yeah. All in. Across 52 episodes, writer, executive producer, director, and co-composer for the theme music, he even voiced a character, Josie Small.
There's that holistic approach again, wanting control over all the elements.
Yep.
But the story of Home Movies' launch, it's kind of a classic case of network TV just not getting it.
Oh, it's a huge lesson in development hell, or maybe development heaven, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
UPN, a major network, actually picked it up initially.
Which must have felt like a big win.
Huge. But UPN had absolutely zero patience. They aired, what, 5 episodes?
Only 5.
And then dropped it. Low ratings. Maybe they just didn't understand that slow observational humor. It wasn't loud enough for network TV then.
So effectively canceled almost right out of the gate. How did it end up becoming such a beloved cult show?
Enter Adult Swim. This is where Bouchard's career really pivots towards its modern path.
Right, Adult Swim was just starting to carve out its niche then.
Exactly. They were building their brand on weird, unconventional, maybe failed network shows.
Mm.
They saw that lack of mainstream appeal in Home Movies not as a flaw, but as its strength.
So they rescued it.
They did. They aired the rest of season one, the 8 episodes UPN didn't show, and then they ordered 3 more full seasons. It ran until 2004, thanks to them.
Wow. So sometimes failing on a big stage is just a sign you're meant for a different, maybe better stage.
Absolutely. Adult Swim was the right home. It let the show breathe. It allowed that distinct rhythm, those long pauses, the awkward but realistic conversations to really land.
And you can feel the DNA of Dr. Katz in that rhythm, right? That prioritizing the natural dialogue.
Totally. Home Movies is slower. It finds humor in the effort of communication, not just punchlines. And that lo-fi vibe carried into the music, too.
Yeah, the theme song is so simple and memorable.
Right. Bouchard's score and theme. It's simple, jazzy, a little melancholic almost. Perfectly fit the show's grounded, slightly sad feel.
But even after getting 4 seasons on Adult Swim, success didn't automatically lead to the next green light, did it?
No, that's the reality of the business. Even with a hit like Home Movies, the next project isn't guaranteed. He developed a pilot right after called Saddle Rash.
Saddle Rash, never heard of it.
Exactly. It didn't get picked up. A temporary setback forced another pivot.
And he pivoted back towards that Adult Swim sensibility.
He did. Back to his strengths, that experimental, dialogue-heavy style with Lucy, the daughter of the devil.
Right. That show is definitely out there.
Yeah, concept alone. Lucy's dad is literal of Satan. It really shows him leaning into the creative freedom Adult Swim offered.
And that took a while to get going, too.
It did. The pilot was made in 2005, but the show didn't actually debut as a weekly series until September 2007, nearly 2 years. Shows you how long development can take, even for established creators on cable.
And again, his fingerprints were all over it.
Oh, yeah. Writer, EP, director, composer, and he even voiced a character, classmate. By this point, the pattern is clear. Bouchard is an auteur. He needs that control over the writing, the look, the direction, and crucially, the sound. The music is just as important as the script for him.
That musical element keeps coming up.
Always.
And before we get to the Bob's Burgers era, worth noting a couple of side things that show his reputation was growing. Consulting producer on The Ricky Gervais Show.
Yeah, for season one on HBO in 2010. That's fascinating.
It is.
Shows that high-profile people were seeking out his specific expertise. He's the guy you call when you need help, structuring animation around spontaneous improv-heavy audio. That's his wheelhouse, built from Dr. Katz and home movies.
Makes sense.
Plus, you see those little voice acting gigs popping up here and there. Rondo and Mr. Bean. Teddy and My Gym Partner's a Monkey. He's just always in that world, staying connected to the craft of animation and voice performance.
All right, let's get to it. The show that really broke through, transcended cult status, became a genuine cultural phenomenon. 2009, Bouchard teams up with Jim Dodarive.
Yep, Jim Dodarive. Powerhouse producer and writer, crucially, from King of the Hill.
That connection seems deliberate.
Oh, I think it was strategic.
Yeah.
Partnering with the King of the Hill alum immediately signals something, right? A commitment to maybe more grounded, family-focused humor.
Yeah.
Moving slightly away from the pure weirdness of early Adult Swim.
But the core idea, the genesis of Bob's Burgers, that came from a really personal place for Bouchard, didn't it? Back to that theme you mentioned earlier.
The blue-collar creative, absolutely. This is the heart of the show.
Explain that. Where did it come from?
Well, Bouchard's talked about growing up in a working-class family. And he felt that kind of life where people maybe struggled financially, but were still creative, still engaged, was just missing from TV.
Yeah, TV families were often either like goofy suburban sitcoms or really dysfunctional dramas.
Exactly. Parents were idiots or they were miserable.
Yeah.
He wanted to portray a family that, yeah, had money worries, constant economic anxiety, but was also fundamentally loving and found ways to be creative out of necessity or just spirit.
Let's break that down, though. How do you see that blue-collar creative idea actually playing out with the Belchers? Because I think that's why people connect so hard.
Oh, it's everywhere. I mean, first, the constant struggle. They're always almost losing the restaurant, needing the kids to work, hatching these kind of desperate schemes to make rent.
Right. The stakes feel real.
But then look at their creative outlets. Bob pours all his artistic energy into the burgers, right? The punny names, the craft of it. The sweet child of Vine Burger, the poutine on the Ritz Burger. That's his art in this little struggling business.
And Linda.
Linda's constantly bursting into song, these amazing, slightly off-key musical numbers about everyday life. Or she's organizing these elaborate, super low-budget family dinner theaters or holiday pageants. It's creativity born from constraint and from joy.
And importantly, they're not cynical about their situation, are they?
Not really, no. That's a key difference from maybe some other adult animated shows. The Belchers. Their love for each other is never, ever the butt of the joke.
Right. The humor comes from the outside world or their individual quirks, but not from mocking the family bond itself.
Exactly. Their loyalty, even when everything's falling apart, is solid. That warmth, that authentic working class core, that's what Bouchard wanted to put on screen.
And Fox saw something in it. They put it on their main primetime schedule for 2010-2011. Even gave it a special Thanksgiving preview, airing in November 2010.
Yeah, they gave it a real shot.
But here's the twist we need to dig into. It didn't exactly explode out of the gate. The initial reviews were kind of meh.
Isn't that wild? A show that feels so essential now started off lukewarm. But yeah, the premiere got mixed reviews. Metacritic score was only like 54 out of 100.
Why do you think that was? What were critics missing?
Well, you got to remember the context. This was peak Family Guy, South Park era. Critics, maybe audiences too, were kind of conditioned to expect faster pacing, cutaway gags, shock value, maybe more cynicism.
And Bob's Burgers wasn't delivering that.
Not at all. It felt slower, maybe a bit weirder to them.
Yeah.
And honestly, maybe. Too nice. Didn't have that sharp edge they were used to.
So what turned the tide? Why did critics and audiences eventually come around so strongly?
I think it just took a little time for people to adjust their expectations and see what the show was doing, rather than what it wasn't. As the first and second seasons progressed, the writers really doubled down on the character development, the specific voices, the relationships.
People started to appreciate the rhythm.
Exactly. Critics realized the humor wasn't about shock. It was about the dialogue, the wordplay, those awkward, funny, Bouchard-esque rhythms we talked about from Dr. Katz and home movies.
Yeah.
It was quieter, but smarter.
So it found its audience and its critical appreciation.
Yeah, and now it's often called a spiritual successor to King of the Hill. Right? Because it shares that grounded feeling, that focus on character and family stability over just like random chaos.
And Bouchard's role in keeping that specific tone consistent, it's huge. He's not just the creator on paper.
Oh, he's the architect. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He controls the whole texture. He composed the main theme music, that iconic, simple kind of ukulele-driven tune. That's him.
I didn't know he actually composed that.
Yep. He's a writer, co-developer, executive producer. He doesn't just hire a composer. He's the sound of the show in many ways.
Wow.
And he still gets in the booth. He voices Mickey sometimes. He actually took over that role from Bill Hader in the episode Beach, Please.
No kidding.
Yeah.
H. John Benjamin, now Bill Hader. He works with the best.
Always has.
And the ultimate proof of the show's enduring power and appeal came in 2022 with the Bob's Burgers movie.
The leap to the big screen. Yeah, that was a massive moment.
And a huge step for Bouchard, personally, wasn't it?
Huge. It was released May 27, 2022. And incredibly, it was his feature film directorial debut.
Never directed a movie before.
Mm-hmm. But he tackled it with that same obsessive, comprehensive control he brings to the show.
Looking at the credits for the movie, it's almost comical how much he did. It really drives home that auteur point.
It's insane, right? He's credited as director, writer, producer. Okay, that's standard. But then music and lyrics, additional score arrangements, additional music, musician, vocalist, and song producer.
He basically was the movie's entire sound department, too.
Pretty much. He was the guardian, ensuring that Jump to Cinemas didn't lose the show's delicate balance. It needed bigger musical numbers, higher stakes, but it still had to feel like the Belchers. And he pulled it off, proved he could handle that massive scale.
So the massive success of Bob's Burgers obviously gave him the clout to do more, to expand his animated universe. Let's talk about Central Park.
Yeah, Central Park.
Yep.
Which ran 2020 to 2022 on Apple TV Plus Up.
That felt like a different kind of project, didn't it?
It really did. A fascinating contrast. It still has that Bouchard focus on character and heart.
But visually, musically, much grander.
Exactly. This was him stepping into big budget, prestige streaming animation. And specifically, embracing the full-blown animated musical format. Like, seriously musical.
That's a huge creative leap from the sort of charming simplicity of Bob's Burgers songs.
It really is. On Central Park, again, he was creator, writer, executive producer, and naturally.
Main theme composer.
Main theme composer, of course. But the musical style was much more polished, complex, leaning into almost Broadway-level compositions, working with big names like Kate Anderson and Alyssa Samsel.
So it shows his range, his versatility.
Totally. He can do the lo-fi, improv-based stuff of Dr. Katz, the quirky little jazz tunes of Bob's Burgers, but he can also oversee these lush, expansive musical numbers for a top-tier streamer. He's fluent in multiple animation languages, musically and visually.
Then there's also The Great North, which started in 2021, still going strong.
Right.
And his role there signals another kind of evolution, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah. This is a really important distinction. On The Great North, he's credited as an executive producer.
But not creator or showrunner.
Exactly. That's the Molyneux sisters, Wendy and Lizzie, who came from Bob's Burgers, along with Minty Lewis. So here, Bouchard is stepping back slightly.
From being the hands-on auteur of everything.
Right. It suggests a shift. He's using the platform, the infrastructure, maybe the creative culture he built with Bob's Burgers to champion other creative teams.
More like a mentor or a patron figure.
Kind of, yeah. Ensuring that same standard of character-driven, heartfelt humor continues, but empowering others to lead it. It's a natural progression for a successful showrunner.
Okay, so if you had to synthesize it across these big projects, Bob's, Central Park, Great North, what's the undeniable Lorne Bouchard signature? What makes something feel like his work, even when his role changes slightly?
I think it comes down to his control over the feel, the texture of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of that comes through the music and the direction of the voice actors.
Back to the sound again.
Always. Remember, he started where sound was everything because the visuals were limited. Now, even with bigger budgets, he still keeps that intense focus. His name is consistently tied to the music composer, theme music, lyrics, arrangements. It means the emotional tone, the pacing, it's always deeply connected to his specific comedic vision.
He dictates the score, not just the script.
That's a great way to put it. It's rare. It's a truly holistic approach.
And just to round out the picture before we hit the awards, a quick note on his personal life balancing this massive creative output.
Yeah, important context. He lives in LA with his wife, Holly Kretschmar. They got married back in 2006, kind of right in that period between home movies wrapping up and Bob's Burgers starting. And they have two sons. From all accounts, he's managed to build this animation empire while maintaining a pretty private, dedicated family life, which kind of mirrors the values you see in his best work, doesn't it? Stability, family unity amidst the chaos.
All right, let's talk recognition. Because Lauren Bouchard's story isn't just about cult hits, it's about sustained critical acclaim over, like, 3 decades now.
It really is remarkable longevity.
Starting with the big one, the Emmy wins for Bob's Burgers. That's the industry benchmark.
Absolutely. And Bob's Burgers didn't just win once. It secured multiple primetime Emmy Awards for Outstanding Animated Program. That shows real, sustained excellence and leadership.
The first win was 2014, right? For the episode Maisel Tina.
Correct. And then again in 2017 for Bob, actually.
That gap is interesting 3 years apart. It proves it wasn't just a fluke or a hot streak. The quality held up consistently.
Exactly. It speaks volumes about the writing room, the cast, and Bouchard's steady hand guiding it all.
And it's not just the Emmys. The animation industry itself recognizes the show's quality.
Right, the Annie Awards. Those are purely focused on animation. Bob's Burgers won Best General Audience Animated TV Broadcast Production in 2017 for Glued, Where's My Bob?
So respected by general TV critics and by his peers within animation.
That's a crucial combination. It shows the craft is admired on its own terms.
And what's really striking is connecting these recent major awards all the way back to the beginning of his career.
That 1995 Cable Ace Award for Dr. Katz.
Yeah.
It feels like an echo, doesn't it?
It does. He found critical success almost immediately after getting that first break.
So his timeline of recognition stretches from those niche early cable awards of the mid-90s straight through to the biggest network and streaming awards today. It's an incredible arc of sustained relevance.
And beyond the wins, just look at the sheer volume of nominations Bob's Burgers racks up year after year.
That nomination landscape tells its own story, doesn't it? It's the measure of being constantly part of the conversation, constantly considered among the best.
Critics' Choice, People's Choice, Teen Choice.
Dorian TV Awards, even a Peabody Award nomination in 2022, which is huge prestige. The show is just perpetually relevant.
And circling back one more time to that comprehensive creative role writer, director, composer, you can even see that reflected in the specific award nominations he personally received, right?
Yes. This is a fantastic point. He was personally nominated, along with John Dylan Keith, for Outstanding Achievement, Music in an Animated TV Broadcast Production back in 2017 for Bob's Burgers.
So not just nominated as an EP for the show overall, but specifically for the music.
Exactly. It underscores that his musical contribution isn't just incidental. It's recognized by the industry as a key creative element, essential to the show's success. He's not just managing the talent. He's the talent getting praised. #outro.
So when we pull it all together, we've traced this really incredible kind of improbable journey.
Totally.
Started with a high school dropout working as a bartender.
Who gets this one lucky break?
Right, an accidental opportunity working in that very specific, technically constrained squiggle vision environment.
And that constraint, that limitation, it actually forced him to develop his greatest strength, prioritizing that authentic, improvised dialogue, the character rhythm.
Putting the voice first.
Exactly. And that focus carried him through the cult success of home movies.
And ultimately led him to create Bob's Burgers, where he found this huge audience by sticking to his guns creatively.
Yeah, that defining mandate. Represent the blue-collar creatives. Show warmth. Show real family connection. Focus on dialogue.
Instead of just going for shock value or cynicism, which was maybe more the trend at the time.
He carved out this massive space in primetime by essentially building his empire on kindness and character.
Yeah. Finding that sweet spot, being seen as that spiritual successor to shows like King of the Hill, proving there was a huge appetite for animation with heart and complexity, not just noise.
Mm-hmm. And that core idea, his successful search for an authentic, maybe underrepresented slice of life to put on screen, it raises a really interesting final question for you, the listener, to think about. We saw Bouchard find gold by focusing on the struggling, creative working class. Something missing from TV. So thinking about adult animation right now, what other authentic family dynamic, what community, what underrepresented group is out there just waiting for the Bouchard treatment?
Who's next?
Yeah. What group full of love and their own specific chaos needs their grounded, maybe musical animated champion to step up, building on the kind of foundation he laid?
That is a great thought to end on. What's the next Bob's Burgers waiting to be discovered?
Something to chew on.
Definitely. Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the really fascinating creative evolution of Lauren Bouchard.
My pleasure.
We'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.